We bring greetings this morning in the name of Jesus and want to welcome each and every one of you here, home folks as well as visitors. And first of all, I have no idea if there's a lady here named Polly. But if you are, this is not about you. The subject this morning is a subject that I'm not sure that I've ever heard anybody speak on. And I feel kind of vulnerable speaking on it. It was born, or the seed was planted probably, I have no idea, probably 2-3 years ago, when a brother came to me and said he wishes somebody would speak on the subject of a parrot. And I said, well, sure. Joe's here, Jason's here, they're very practical, they can do it. But you know, time went on, I kind of forgot about it, but then it came back again. And about 2-3 months ago, it started growing, I guess. So the question this morning is, who or what is a Polly? Does anybody want to say? I already said it, but who or what is Polly? A parrot. What does a parrot do? Mimics people, okay. Anything else? Okay. I think that's also true. Okay, does a parrot understand what she's saying? Probably not. And if she doesn't, where did she learn it? Learn to speak. Okay. Yeah, I think that's right. Now, this message this morning is not about teaching a parrot how to talk or raising a parrot. That's not at all what this message is about. The burden of the message is, do we understand what we're saying? Do we understand what we're promoting? Do we understand what the scriptures say about the things that we say the scriptures say? You know, I very highly doubt that this parrot understands what she's asking for when she says Polly wants a cracker. But she does understand the treat that comes when she repeats after her handler or owner that she wants a cracker. Then she gets a treat. That's what she understands. It's not the words she's saying. You know, there are parrots that say all kinds of bad and ugly things. But these poor parrots are innocent. They have no idea what they're saying. Parrots in their native language, in their native tongue, will never speak the language of humans. Never. Recently, we were over here in Smithville working at a job in, or other side of Smithville. And we were walking around with the owner around the building and looking what needs to be done. And we walked in kind of along the end of the building. And all of a sudden, there was this extreme loud squawking noise. And I kind of looked and wondered, what in the world is in this building? And here there was 2 or 3 great big parrots, about yay tall, and they were loud, and they made a lot of noise. But you know, not one of them said, Polly wants a cracker. Not one of them said that. Do we as people have this problem? Do we have this problem that we repeat only what we hear or everything that we hear? without thinking it through, without seeing if it makes sense, without seeing if it's true. You know, there are many times we enjoy spreading this sensational without ever having any idea that what we said is true or completely true. It may be a thread of truth, but is it true? We love to say the new thing and give news without having any idea if it passes the Bible test of Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. And I'm just going to read it, then later come back to it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now there it almost sounds like Paul is encouraging people to do what he does, to say what he does, how does he say this? They have learned it, they have received it, they have heard it, and they saw it. And those things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, in the things of this life, there are certain things that resonate with people that catch their attention, that maybe even articles and pictures with slogans, with writing, that makes, you know, it catches our attention because we are kind of, it's expressing what we kind of feel like. You understand what I'm saying? We are leaning that way, so when we see something, it resonates with us, and then it grabs our attention. You know, I have to think of many things. Political decisions. Now, we know that we're not involved in political life. We probably are way too... Well, I'll just leave that. But political decisions. You know, there are some political decisions that absolutely do not make sense. And then there's others that, yeah, you know, I really think that's the right thing to do. And you know why it resonates with us? Is because we are leaning that direction. You know, it's easy, very easy, to pass on for truth things that we hear and read, especially when it makes sense to me, without ever spending the effort or the energy to search it out. I'd like to give you a case in point. I don't know how many of you saw this picture, and I can't really hold it out here. But here is a loader, one of the biggest loaders that CAT ever made. The man is standing here, that's a full-size man. He doesn't even come to the center or to the hub of the wheel. This loader is, I think, 17 feet wide or more. The top of the cab or the top of the smokestack is 23 feet. It's huge. The bucket on this thing, now, excuse me if you don't understand all this, you're not really interested. But it did, it did resonate with me because here is power. The bucket on this thing is, I think, 19 feet wide and can handle, depending on the size of the bucket, about 40 to 48 yards of dirt. It has a net horsepower, I think, of 1,400 and some horsepower. Now keep this picture in your mind as I read the next The caption on this picture said, "This is a Cat 994H, gave the model number. It burns 1,800 gallons of fuel in a 12-hour shift. This machine is required to move 500,000 pounds of dirt in order to get the minerals needed for one single Tesla battery." Tesla's a car. Then it said this, "In whose world does this type of math in a Green New Deal make sense?" I saw this picture on a conservative Anabaptist brother's status. And the first time I saw that, I went, man, what a stupid deal is that? I just, you know, it kind of resonated with me because of the political society pushing the new Green Deal. And I want you to understand, I am not pro-green, and I'm not necessarily pushing one side or the other, going fossil fuel or going green. I'm not, that's not the intent. The intent is, what are we passing on for truth? Oh, by the way, this, and I don't know why he picked on Tesla, but supposedly, no, it's not supposedly, this is true. As I looked up, what does a Tesla car battery cost? And it said anywhere from, depending on your model, anywhere from $13,000 to $20,000 to replace one battery. Now, does that make sense to us? If you consider the 1,800 gallons in a 12-hour shift at today's price of fuel, moving 500,000 pounds of dirt, what is the first thing that you think about? This is a whole day's work, right? That's the first thing I thought about. Well, number one, the rider was way, 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 way off on the fuel consumption. Not even half. Cat's estimation was, depending how hard you push the machine, but on an average, it's 55 to 60 gallons an hour. So you're looking roughly at 660 to 720 gallons versus 1,800 in a 12-hour period. And number two, 500,000 pounds of dirt sounds like an extreme amount of dirt. You know how long it takes this machine to shovel 500,000 pounds of dirt? In 4 to 5 bucket loads. Now, he could probably do that in 10 minutes. So, but the writer was trying to pass on as truth this great big phenomena that we have to go through to get to this Tesla battery. That's what he was trying to do. And to downplay the New Green Deal. That's what he was trying to do. You know, and all this without the cost of the machine, the land, the extracting of the dirt, the milling costs, and all that included. And it, you know, it doesn't really make sense, even if it does burn 1,800 gallons. I shouldn't say it doesn't make sense. Obviously, it's... But, you know, if I'm leaning away from the Green Deal, that really resonated with me. But if I would be for going all green, That article would just absolutely aggravate me and kind of make me angry. So it depends which way we're leaning is what resonates with us. And I don't know if it makes economical sense to make all these batteries or not. I have no idea. I do know that these electric vehicle companies get a lot of subsidies from the government. I do know that. But I also believe that they're working constantly at making them better and cheaper as time goes on. Now, if I may make one more example of repeating what I say, being a parrot in this life. Now, I realize we're not involved in the political world. And we should be neutral in the world of the different political parties. But by and large, I think we tend to, as a people here, we tend to agree more with the conservative party. Now, I have said that to say this. It is very easy to believe and pass on for truth things we hear about the other party that we don't agree with without ever searching it out to see if it's true. You know, we have to realize finally that all political parties are run by ungodly men. They all have one thing in common, and that is to promote their own ideas and their self-interests. They are governed by the same selfish, egotistical motive that the other party is run by. Do I need to say more? And if you don't think that resonates with you, what about this? Think of the COVID mess that we just came through and aren't done with. All the masks, the ivermectin, the shots. You understand what I'm trying to say? The internet is full of articles pro and against all these things. Everything that the government has put us through in the last two and a half years, the internet is completely full of articles and of people saying one thing and people saying another thing. Exact opposite. It makes no difference which direction we lean. There's articles to support us. For whatever we choose to believe. Now, is this a safe thing to be a parrot in passing on all the articles, all the information we receive from all things? Is that a safe thing? Do you want to be a parrot? I plead with us. I plead with all of us, including myself. Let's not be a parrot in just repeating everything we hear, believing everything we hear, and spreading it out for truth, everything that we ever hear. Because I guarantee you, there are people out there that are not truth conscious like we would like to be, that we want to be, that we testify to be, and that we are. There are people out there to deceive all the other people. But especially, we do not want to be a parrot in the spiritual things. And I want to tell you that if I say anything this morning that would not be completely true, I don't like to be rebuked or corrected publicly, but please do, because that is what it's going to take if I say something publicly and you see scripture that would refute what I'm saying, it's your responsibility to correct that. Rather than just being a parrot to, oh, Ernie said so, so it's got to be true. We don't even going to search it out. It's got to be true. No. I make mistakes. I am human, and so are you. I plead with us to not be a parrot and repeat everything we hear without trying to make sure that what we're saying and passing on for truth is actually true and is upbuilding. You know, we may inadvertently be telling a lie and passing on something that grieves the very heart of God. We don't just avoid being a parrot in things of this world, but we also need to avoid being a parrot in spiritual things. God has given us a mind to think with understanding, and He does not desire robots to serve Him. You know, when we become parrots in spiritual things, you know, just when I mean parrots, just mindlessly repeating and believing everything that we hear, we are in great danger of becoming lukewarm and lifeless spiritually, if we're not dead already. So this morning, I'd like to give us some direction from the scripture how to avoid being a parrot. Number one, study and search the scriptures. Be ready and willing to put some effort into searching the truth, for the truth. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of time. You know, even then, we may not be able to completely find out truth. We might need teachers and help in sorting out the things of life. Turn to Acts 17, 5 to 13. Why don't we all stand for the reading of the scriptures? Seems like there's maybe some people that are sleeping or are fighting sleep. Acts 17, verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows with baser sort, of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. When they found them not, now he was talking about bringing the apostles, bringing Paul and Silas out to the people. So when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let him go. Verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, and coming thither went into the city, a synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. That's what we need to do. Whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of the honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. You may be seated. Now there's some things that happen here. We can definitely see that are some parrot actions. Number one, verse 5, it says that the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took certain lewd men of the baser sort, and they gathered a company of people around them, and they went out and started an uproar. Now, I would like to ask you, would they have been able to start this uproar if the people of Thessalonica would not have been so eager to believe everything they heard? If they would have taken the time to search out the truth, would they have caused an uproar? Would they have been able to cause an uproar? I think we all know that answer. If they would have truly searched out the truth of the scriptures, they would have come to see the truth of the matter. And the success of the Jews would not have been there to cause an uproar. So these people did not search out the scriptures. They did not know what the scriptures taught. So they went over to Berea, Paul and Silas did, and there they started having meetings at the synagogue. And these people, the Bible says, were more noble. They were more, they were able to look at the matter and then go to the scriptures and see if these things were so. And they found that these things were so. They found the truth, and it says in verse 12, that many believed. Of whom also were the honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. There was a light given by God because they were willing to search the scriptures, to study the scriptures, to understand, to search out what is truth, what is God saying, what is the will of God for my life, rather than just blindly accepting everything they said and getting swept off their feet when the uproar came. They got anchored in the word of God. Now these men of Thessalonica came also over to Berea, and it says they came thither also and stirred up the people. Obviously the people that were stirred up were still the ones that did not accept truth, and they were not willing to look, to search out, to see if the things that they were saying is true. You know, there are many times that there's, when we hear something that is, well, let me back up. The thing that sometimes that we say that is kind of almost false, it's not so much what we say as what we don't say. These people at Thessalonica, the Jews, said that there is another king, which is Jesus. Now, was that the truth? Was Jesus a king? Absolutely he was. But they used that to stir up the people, and they said, they kind of gave the idea it's an earthly kingdom. It's a king that's going to take place of Caesar. Was that the truth? Absolutely not. So it's not what they said, it's what they didn't say. And they led these people as a herd down the valley and the path of uproar. So we need to compare scripture, unclear scripture, with clear scripture. We need to compare a clear thought with unclear thought. And if it does not agree with the word, not true. and we had better not repeat it, lest we speak and promote a lie. Now, John 5, verse 39 in the Amplified Version says, Jesus speaking to the I'm not sure which sect of the Jews it was, but it was to the Jews, to the leaders, either the Pharisees or somebody. It says, you search and keep on searching and examine. You think that in them you have eternal life. And yet they were, and yet they were rejecting the very life, the very the life giver of the life of Jesus. They were rejecting the person who gave life. It says, and yet in these very scriptures that you are searching and looking, they are the, those that testify of me. So I think it's very important that we not only search the scriptures, but we desire to know what God wants us to know, not to go with an, with the intent of proving ourselves right. Isaiah 8, verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, and I'm speaking about the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So Isaiah was saying that if any law or any testimony does not agree with the word of God, it is false. It is because there is no light in it. 2 Timothy, I'm reading these scriptures because it's much easier for me to read the scriptures without paging them to him. We'll just leave that too. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if you want to have a vibrant life that is free from passing on false information, then study the scriptures and make it your life. Otherwise, we are going to be overtaken by all the information that is out there that is even, may not all be false, but it's there's a lot of falsehood out there. So study the scriptures. Number two, use the filter that God prescribed in Philippians 4:8. Now let's go back to Philippians 4:8 and read that. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Again, Paul speaking, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, as we look at the filter that God has given to us to filter our information, the things that we are receiving and the things that we're trying to pass on, he gives us, I think it's eight, I did not count them, but I think there's eight different steps. Number one, is it true? Is it true, all the information that we pass on, all the information that we are receiving, You know, there's people that say, well, okay, I can receive this glob of information, and I can weed out the bad stuff, the things that are not true, and I can just receive the things that are true. I'd like to come back to that thought a little later. So if in doubt, it's better not to pass on something than to pass on a juicy tidbit of information that isn't true. When you are tempted to post something on status or whatever platform you use, is it true? Are you sure it's true? You know, if it passes the filter of truth, then you have the responsibility to go down and see if it passes the other filters that are mentioned down there. Just because it's true doesn't mean it's lovely or praiseworthy or pure. So is it honest? This is another one. Is it honest? What you are trying to say, what you are trying to believe, what you are receiving as truth, is what you are receiving honest? And are you honest in passing on this information? Can you honestly say, this is true, this is lovely, this is pure, this is holy? If you can't, then refrain. Is it just, equitable, fair, and impartial in character or action? Are we impartial? Are we fair? Excuse me. Or do we put our own little slant to the tail? And if we're fair and impartial, again, is it true? Is it pure? Is it lovely? You know, all of our information has to pass through these filters. Is it pure? Is there any hint of impureness? Is it innocent, modest, perfect, chaste, and clean? Is it pure? Is it lovely? You know, I had to think of that shooting down in Texas, Uvalde. That is true. That shooting did happen. But I'm going to ask you something. Is it lovely? Was it lovely? Was it pure? You know, we can give our thoughts and our ideas about this situation, but when we stop and think about the filter that God has given to us, it kind of makes us shudder as we think of all the things that I have passed on that didn't come under, that didn't pass this filter. I'm not saying it's wrong to talk, to relate an actual happening. I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying that if we start to analyze, is it true? If the truth is the only thing that we need to find ourselves, there's a lot of things out there that are true, but there's a whole bunch more that are unlovely. They're impure. They're not holy. They're not lovely. They're not praiseworthy. They're not honest. You understand what I'm saying? So let's pass our information through this filter, and the blessing of God can rest upon our life. Does it bring peace to the solution, the thing that I want to pass on? Does it bring peace and resolution to the problem that we are talking about? Does it enhance relationships? Does it enhance friendships? Or does it tear apart? Does it have a good report? Is it well spoken of? Is it reputable? Good report. Is it upbuilding and uplifting? Does it pass the test of virtue? You know, virtue, the definition, I was surprised, is manliness. Man up is what it's saying. Be a man. Don't just pass on everything that you hear, but be a man and stop and consider. What are you doing? What are you passing on? What are you saying? Is it true? Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it manly to pass it on? Is it excellent? Would a real man of God pass on what I just passed on? Is it praiseworthy? Is it commendable? You know, when I repeat what I heard, does it cause those that hear my words to appreciate the person more? Or does it tear down the other person? Does it build relationships or tear them down? I'd like to give you an example of a real life example that happened to me many years ago. I went to this congregation. And I was trying to, I didn't know all the people, didn't know the people, and I was trying to find my way in relating to the brethren. So I asked one brother, what about this brother over here? I'm not going to give you the name. But the first brother that I asked, he said, "Oh, brother, I appreciate this brother so much. He's a blessing in my life. He is a child of God." And you know, to this day, I still have appreciation for that second brother. I do. Now, what would have happened if the first brother would have said, "Oh, man, stay away from that brother. He is just, you understand what I'm saying? But the testimony of the first brother increased my appreciation or made the foundation for my appreciation for that second brother. And in the pursuing ongoing time of life, I was able, instead of trying to start from, do I avoid him or do I appreciate him? I already had the foundation of appreciation laid for me. And therefore, it didn't take near as long that I could move on into a closer relationship with him. So do my words enhance relationships or do they tear them down? What are we saying? Does our voice have praiseworthiness? Is it lovely? Is it pure? Or is it always laced with this thing of an undercurrent of doubt and an undercurrent of not appreciating the brother? Now, number three, read and speak with understanding. Hebrews 5, verse 12 and 13 says, For the time you ought to be teachers, when you were at the time that you should have been teaching, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now that is not a complimentary term. He is a babe. That's not a complimentary term. It's saying that you are a baby. Your understanding is not very good. Read and speak with understanding. Don't be a baby in the spiritual things of life. Don't be such that you always have to have your meals prepared for you, that you never are able to go out and read the scriptures, receive instruction, receive food for your soul. You know, when the only food you get is when somebody spoon feeds you, you are either very small, very big baby, or you're about ready to die, one or the other. Read and speak with understanding. Be willing to get into the scriptures and receive and read and receive understanding, receive instruction, receive food for the soul. That's where it is. First Corinthians 14:15 says, what is it then? Now I realize he's talking here about speaking in an unknown tongue in the congregation. But it's Paul's saying, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. He's saying, understand what you're saying. Read and speak with understanding. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, it says, brethren, be not children in understanding. You know, if we don't understand something, find help and find somebody that can help you. There is no shame in asking for help to understand something. But find somebody whose life gives testimony that he not only says the right things, but he's doing the right things. There's a big difference between somebody that just says the right thing and those that do the right thing, that say and do. Be willing to put an effort into your Christian life. We are in a very dangerous place when we just accept what we hear as gospel without knowing or searching to see what the scriptures have to say about the subject. I believe that's one reason that the Dark Ages were called the Dark Ages, because the common people could not read the word. They did not know what the word says, and the priests and the preachers just spoon-fed them everything, and their spiritual understanding was nil. They didn't know what the scripture said. Now, number four, allow the scriptures to say what it means. Allow the scriptures to say what it means. It is a very serious thing to add or subtract anything from the written word. In fact, it's so serious that it will affect our eternal destiny. Revelation 22:18-19 says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You know, when we make the scripture say something that it isn't saying, we are in effect telling a lie, because the scriptures itself are truth. When we allow a lie to lodge in our heart, we are also, at the same time, allowing a place for Satan to lodge. Notice Jesus' words in John 8:44. He was talking to the Jewish leaders again. Says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it. First John 1:5 says, this then is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. When we allow that lie to lodge in our hearts, we are giving place to the devil. We are. Do you want the devil to live in your hearts? Let's refrain from lying. The fifth one is try the spirits, whether they are of God. And I appreciate the brethren that mentioned that this morning in Sunday school class. I hadn't thought of this one. But try the spirits, whether they are of God. That verse is found in First Peter. No, it's in 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 1 and 2. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they of God, because many false prophets are going out into this world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. Beloved, try the spirits. Believe not every spirit. Believe not every article you see, every article you read. Don't believe everything you read, but try the spirit. Try it with the word of God. What is truth? Thy word is truth." 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us, in verse 21, "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil." Is being a parrot a good thing? Absolutely not. We cannot live spiritually and be parrots. I want that phrase there to be rooted in our minds as a negative thing. Polly wants a cracker. That is not a good thing, because it's just repeating what she heard. She has no idea what she's saying. She has no idea the meaning of the Polly wants a cracker. What she wants is the reward of saying what she just said. That's what she's after. It's not that she spoke with understanding. It's not that she spoke with a conviction that this is the truth. I want a cracker. She had no idea what she said. Whenever you hear that phrase, "Polly wants a cracker," remember, that's not a good thing. I'd like to close with Hebrews 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, God is faithful that the Word of God is going to take those thoughts, those ideas, those articles, those whatever, those pictures, whatever we are tempted to pass on as truth, He is going to take those and He's going to separate them. He's going to give us inspiration. What is truth? The Word of God says is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and is piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When we're in doubt, don't pass it on. Let's kneel for prayer.